Let's hear from Coach Goodale in today's episode of the Inside Rutgers Athletics podcast. The podcast is brought to you by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official health care provider of Rutgers Athletics.
All right, Rutgers fans, Brad Darahilo, Sports Information Director with Rutgers Athletics, joined here by head wrestling coach Scott Goodale. Scott, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Brad. How are you?
Doing good. Just get right into it. I know this is your favorite topic, but I figured we'd start this off with wrestle-offs because I know how much you love wrestle-offs. What were your initial takeaways from last Saturday's wrestle-offs?
Probably one of the best set of matches I've had in all my years at Rutgers. Maybe just because we've spent a lot of time training and preparing from the summer on. I think our underclassmen, our freshmen, have all been with us for an extended period of time. That probably has something to do with it. But it was super competitive. It was really everything you kind of want from a coaching staff standpoint. All the way from the night before, guys getting down to weight, preparing, waking up on weight as if we were on the road in an environment where there may be a cold gym, right, early in the morning. So it was an early in the morning wake up, make weight, and then, 2 hours, and then we wrestle. So we simulated as much as we possibly could. We had very competitive wrestling, some really good wrestling with a couple surprises. Most of our guys, pretty much for the most part, probably took care of business, so to speak. Guys who were favored pretty much won. And then obviously there was a little bit of noise at 149. So other than that, it went off without a hitch, exactly what we wanted. Nobody got injured. So most importantly, but again, you know this, and most of our fans know this, they mean very little to me. It was just a really good day of competition with refs, with scorekeepers that we brought in. So simulated a really, really neat dual meet atmosphere.
How important is it to simulate kind of waking up on weight and that whole getting ready for match day experience with these wrestle-offs?
Super, super important, because then we had dialogue, right? We had dialogue today. We obviously had dialogue with our guys Saturday, and some of them said, I didn't do my weight right. I didn't cut my weight right. I didn't put in the proper stuff afterwards, after the weigh-in. So all that stuff, it's a trial run, right? What you're going to do after you get off the scale, things like that. And for the most part, it was our young guys. It was our young guys who kind of, the habits they had in high school probably weren't the right ones, maybe, So all that kind of shows out. All that happens for a reason. And, even some of the guys that have been with us a couple years, maybe they didn't do their weight. And for the most part, we don't have many guys cutting a lot of weight. Believe it or not, Sammy probably had the best performance when it came to that. Obviously, he wrestled really, really well. But just the way he did it, because he's done it before, he's been there and he's locked in on it, and there's a lifestyle behind it right now. So we need to get our young guys kind of following that suit. And that kind of sounds funny, right, after everything that happened last year. But there's a method to the madness with all this stuff, and this was a really good trial run. So we got exactly out of it what we wanted to get out of it.
That's great and encouraging to hear about Sammy and how he did so well.
Yeah.
New naming rights for Home of Rutgers Wrestling. It's now the Jersey Mike's Arena. How cool is that partnership, having a company and a Jersey Mike's, associated with New Jersey? Kind of, it resembles what you want to do here, keeping Jersey's best here in New Jersey. Yeah. How cool is that for you?
Well, first of all, the most important thing is any big-time university or big-time arena gets naming rights. So the fact that we're able to do it here at Rutgers, again, another step in the right direction. Thanks to Pat Hobbs and his staff and the people at Jersey Mike's for getting this deal done. It's just huge in what we're trying to do. Secondly, and probably for me, most importantly, those guys, I know those guys from Jersey Mike's, and they're huge wrestling fans. So a lot of them have been to the matches before, been to the home match before. So I know some of those guys, and they're from down the shore, at least the people I met with. So that's always a good thing. But like you said, keeping, Jersey Mike's as a jersey, it just seems like, I know it's national, but it's a Jersey product, and it's everything we're trying to do. Keep Jersey in Jersey, and they do this by putting their name on that building.
And November 7th, the Quad will be the first home event, first time in front of fans for you guys since the 2020 Big Ten Wrestling Championships. How surreal is that going to be for you walking out there? Obviously, the Quad is a little different than a regular duel. But how surreal is that going to be for you and the guys walking out and seeing fans in the stands?
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. I mean, we've never – there were parents at the Big Ten, so you get a little bit of a taste, but nothing like what we'll see on Sunday. So I'm excited for it, man. I'm excited to wrestle some different people. I'm excited for just the challenge of competing against, you know, three other schools and then to do it in front of fans. And that's a lot of what we talk about. That's our recruiting pitch, is being able to perform in this type of atmosphere, being able to perform when there's expectations. You've heard me say many times, we have a knowledgeable fan base. With that comes expectations. So there is no bad days. You got to be on, right? You got to be on, and you got to figure it out. You got to embrace this type of atmosphere. And that's what we've used from a recruiting standpoint. And it's just great we're able to do it after such a long hiatus of not being around our fans or fans in general. So it's good to be back in a loaded gym, and hopefully that place gets loud.
How exciting is it going to be for you personally to see guys like Sebastian, who came here for the reason to wrestle in front of fans, and a guy like John Poznanski, who had such a fantastic year, but it was in front of nobody in the stands? How important is it going to be to see those guys perform?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this the other day. There's maybe four guys on our roster that have ever wrestled in the arena, you know, now Jersey Mike's arena. But so that's kind of different. That's weird. So I'm excited for Seb. I'm excited for Paz. And they have big matches. You know, Bolsack has a big match. Kid from Cleveland State beat him actually last year. So, and obviously John Poznanski has a guy who wrestled in the national quarters last year. So those are big time matches early on. And we need our crowd to be enthusiastic and be behind those guys and get behind it, because we feel it's kind of a home match atmosphere. So I'm happy for those guys. I know our guys love to wrestle in front of this fan base. So we talk about it a lot. It's something we embrace. And so I'm excited, really, those three in particular, but really all the way up and down. You know, Boone McDermott's never wrestled in front of a crowd like this. So how does he react? So I'm looking forward to all that kind of stuff.
I believe this is the, not counting last year, but I believe this is the third season in a row we've started with a quad. What's the thought process behind that? Does it kind of ease the guys in knowing that you can get a bunch of matches in the same day?
Yeah, I think so. And it's controlled, right? It's not an open tournament where you're there all day. It's a controlled environment as far as dual meets go, and they're on a schedule, and we could do it at home. And I always like to get smaller division two, three junior college team from New Jersey. I want to give them the opportunity to come to the arena and to New Brunswick and wrestle and see our facilities. And, you know, because I care about what, for example, this week, what Harry Turner's doing. That's very important to me. I've cared for years of what Centenary was doing, because they work their tail off, and they don't, you know, obviously the Big Ten is a lot different than a Division III program. So I want those guys to have the ability to wrestle Division I schools. And so we give them the opportunity. That's kind of the reason why we started. But you're right, it's kind of, now these are two really good opponents. I think Cleveland State is picked second in the MAC to start the year. And Binghamton's really an up-and-coming program that's very, very good, with a ton of really good individuals. So, you know, it keeps your foot on the pedal as far as preseason goes. You're wrestling for something. So you want to have a couple good matches in there. And then I explain why the junior college program this year, and Harry Turner, Sean Tucker, to bring them back is kind of special to me.
Yeah, how cool is that to have Harry come back? You know, obviously he was on staff for a couple years with you. And Sean Tucker, too, as the athletic director at NJCU. How cool is it to have that program come in on November 7th?
Yeah, it's awesome. Sean is a huge part of my career and has helped me out tremendously. Obviously, he was in charge of the Leadership Academy here, so a lot of my guys work closely with Sean. He was a big part of the program, big part of what we did here early on. And then Harry, you know, like you said, he worked with me for years, and it's good to see him getting his opportunity. This is something I knew he always wanted to do, and he's hit the ground running. He's put a lot of work into it, and he's been on the recruiting trail every single day and night, hitting the clubs in New Jersey and just fighting the good fight when it comes to this sport. So I root for guys like that, and it's, you know, it's part of your coaching tree also. So it's kind of special for me, and I want to see him do well, and maybe not so well against us, but, you know, anytime else from there on out. But I'm excited for Harry, and I know how hard he and what he's put into the program. So I think this is a good opportunity for him to come back, and he gets what the Rack is all about, or now Jersey Mike's Arena. He understands all that, so he wants to wrestle here. So that's why we made it happen.
Yeah, switching gears a little bit, the coaches poll came out earlier this week. Rutgers is ranked 19th. There's 11 programs ranked in the coaches poll from the Big Ten, and Michigan State receiving votes too to make it 12. Just how obviously the Big Ten conference is the premier wrestling conference, but to see 11 programs ranked in the preseason coaches poll, what does that say about the conference as a whole?
Well, it's about as good as it gets when it comes to NC2A sports. There's nothing better than wrestling in the Big Ten. Maybe volleyball in the Big Ten is right up there, but you know, I mean, it's year in and year out. It's like you said, 11, 12 schools ranked in the preseason top 25, and there's no question about it. Michigan State is going to be right in the thick of it. They have a really good program. So it's the highest level of our sport at this level. There's no question about it. And that is not taking away from what goes on in the Ivy Leagues or what goes on in the Big 12 or what goes on out West. There's some great programs, but from top to bottom, there's nothing like wrestling in this conference. And I say this a lot when I recruit, but I also believe in this from a coaching standpoint. If you're going to do this sport, and you know, we live it, we do it all year round. If you're going to do it, let's do it at the highest level. So I'm completely honored and blessed to be a part of not only Rutgers, to be a part of the Big Ten Wrestling Conference. It's again, about as good as it gets in any sport. So there's no doubt we have our hands full and our work cut out for us, but what a challenge every single night. And I embrace those challenges. And it's not like you got to go far to get a match, and we'll never be accused of wrestling a soft schedule. That's right. For darn sure. So the Big Ten is the Big Ten, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
Is the way that this roster is crafted, obviously 8 individual guys that appear in national rankings heading into the season, is the way that the roster is constructed, how does that help you navigate just the Big Ten schedule as a whole?
Well, I think right now there's some pretty good depth. You know, I think we have some pretty good depth, guys that are chomping at the bit to compete, to be the starter. And there's guys that are really, really good that are stopping them from being the starter. So that's always a good thing. And it won't be worked out for a while. And once we get into Big Ten matches or Big Ten play, so to speak, it's, you know, we got to make sure we're putting our best foot forward. We're going to try to compete every single night, 100%, but we know that's not reality, right? We're going to have, you know, 2, sometimes 3 guys at a weight. And not only are they at the weight, they got to be able to compete at the weight. And that's what we've tried to build over the years. But at the end of the day, we all know it's about the last 3 days of March, that's will always be our focus. So we'll navigate the Big Ten to the best of our ability, but I'm not going to put anybody in danger to take away from the ultimate goal that takes place at the national tournament. And I got to keep my eyes set on that and stay focused on that. And that'll be my plan, but we'll navigate it. We'll wrestle it. We'll wrestle as hard as we possibly can. I really enjoy, or I think I'm going to enjoy, this whole East and West type situation, kind of like they're doing football, wrestle all the East and then 2 crossover. So it's a great situation, and we look forward to it for sure.
Yeah. And obviously any Big Ten program you wrestle, it's going to be a dogfight. How do you guys handle those extended road trips? For example, this season, you'll be at Penn State, you'll come back home, and then immediately you'll do a Michigan State, Michigan road swing. How do you guys handle that and approach those?
Just embrace it. Just love it. Like the way I look at it personally, and obviously I'm a big fan of the sport as well, I'm a big fan of college sports in general. You get to go compete in specific arenas and certain arenas and hostile environments and all that good stuff. So that's what excites me. And like, the schedule is the schedule. We never complain about it. Our best teams we've ever had here have never complained about going to Iowa, then coming back home and wrestling Nebraska when it was number 2 and 4 in the country back to back. So we never complained about it. You have a job to do, and you do that job. And if the job entails getting on a plane to go to another arena or getting on a bus to drive to, you know, up the road from Michigan, from Ann Arbor to East Lansing, you do it and you embrace it. And that's the task at hand for that specific weekend. And that's just the way we go about it. We never complain about what we're doing or where we're going or when we're going or what their weather conditions are like. And we've known, we've been in some crazy weather situations, buses from Iowa to Nebraska in front of blizzards, in Illinois in front of snowstorms. We love that stuff and embrace it. And it's the only way to do it. It's the only way to stay positive about it is know the task at hand and just attack it.
Yeah. Let's give the fans a little inside baseball here with that Iowa trip. You mentioned that blizzard. Ugh. That was nuts. Can you kind of recall that night coming out of Carver Hawkeye?
Brad, I could recall. I mean, this could be a little bit long-winded, and I don't want to do that to our listeners, but we didn't wrestle real well, and it's hard to wrestle in Carver. Suriano lost that night to DeSanto. I believe Ashnault won in overtime, right, yeah, to Lugo. We had another win in there somewhere. Grello. I think we won two. Grello won that night. But, you know, just how loud that place was with the Suriano match. And right, when Nick loses, we're not expecting it. So there's, you know, we're trying to get dressed up. You know, Bob, the dad, was there and speaking in the locker room with Nick. And, you know, Nick wasn't happy where he was at with his wrestling. And Coach Gable came up and said, hey, I'd like to, outside of our locker room, and I'd like to meet that Coach Goodell. I said, well, Coach, you're talking to him. So we had a talk. And I've met Coach Gable 100 times, but for whatever reason, maybe just didn't remember. So he introduced himself. We talked a little bit. And then the next thing you know, my guys were taking pictures with him. So here we are. They're taking pictures with Gable, which is cool. They love, you know, Gable's an icon. So I didn't mind that. But we just got our butt kicked in Carver Hawkeye. I wanted to get the heck out of there. We knew there was a storm coming, and we had to drive to Nebraska to get on a flight from Nebraska because everything in Iowa was canceled. So because we waited, because we saw Gable, we didn't get on the bus for like an hour. And by that time, the snow was so bad, we were up on going up a hill, and the bus never made it up a hill. We got dinner delivered on the bus. And finally, after about 2 hours, we were driving to Nebraska in a snowstorm where we had to pull over a bunch of times. And myself and Coach Pritzloff would climb the windows and wipe off the windows. And our bus driver didn't want to keep going. He wanted to stop. And we were like, no way. We cannot stop. Continue to go. I think we got to the hotel 4 in the morning.
Yes.
And then got on a flight 7 a.m. and
yes,
all the way through a storm and all that good stuff. So we made it happen. It worked. It was a lot of anxiety. I think we probably went about 30 miles an hour from, and our listeners will have to look up exactly how far that is, but it was probably a 6 hour go. And it was exhausting just for the fact that I was staring. Half the bus was sleeping. And I'm staring out the front window. Can we make this? So very dangerous situation, but we did what we needed to do.
Yes. I was well aware. I had a video off the whole time.
You were on that bus, right?
I was on that bus. It was, quite the story. I actually enjoy telling that story. I'm glad our listeners can hear a little bit of that.
Yeah.
We'll close with this. Wrestling here at Rutgers, when Rutgers joined the Big Ten in 2014, wrestling was one of the first programs to kind of break through when it comes to competing at the Big Ten level, both as a team and with individual Big Ten champions and eventually national champions. Just to see the success that the athletic department is having over these past few years. And you just look at this year with women's soccer winning the Big Ten regular season title, what field hockey's doing, seeing football beat Illinois this past weekend, and then the excitement around basketballs, and even in the spring with the lacrosse programs and just everything that's going on here at Rutgers. How exciting is that for you as someone who's one of the more tenured coaches here at Rutgers, who's been through the transition? How cool is that piece?
It's awesome, man. You know, I've been through 4 different athletic directors, 4 different or 3 different head football coaches, if you talk about coach twice, 3 or 4 different basketball coaches, 9 different academic advisors, 9 different weight, strength, and conditioning coaches. So I've seen it all. And every year you keep hearing how it's going to turn around. It's going to turn around. We're getting better. We're getting better. We're getting better. And then all of a sudden, it happens, right? I think Pat had an incredible plan. I think he took some heat maybe early on where the plan wasn't quite working out, but we know, right? We're from Jersey. There's absolutely no patience, and people stuck with us. And the bottom line is our athletic department stuck with the coaches that are here now through some hard times, right? Through some hard times. And there's some difficult decisions that have to be made. And like you said, I'm probably, other than C. Viv, I don't know who else, but I've been here 15 years. Maybe I am, other than CVIV, the longest tenured coach here. I'm not sure. But again, I've seen it all, and I've heard all the promises and all the buildings that were going to go up. And that's not to slight anybody else who worked here as the athletic director, the president, or whatever the case might be. Just maybe it wasn't the right timing. And then all of a sudden the Big Ten, and for us to keep up, you got to put buildings on campus. You got to put fields on campus and wrestling rooms and courts on campus to even compete. And here we are, you fast forward, you never think it's going to happen, right? Watching that APC go up, I never thought it was actually going to get built until we were able to get in the building. So sure enough, because you hear all the stories, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and then all of a sudden it starts happening. And to see the success of really all of our programs, every single one of them is part of this, part of the resurgence. Obviously, we're run by football and basketball, and Coach Peichel and Coach Stringer and Coach Ciano are huge, and our Olympic sports coaches all understand that and get it. We need those three to hammer it home and be the breadwinners, so to speak, the bread makers. But I love what's happening at the Olympic sport level, and I love working with these coaches. I see their passion every day. We talk a lot more. There's dialogue every day. There's text messages being sent on big wins every single night. There's just a lot of camaraderie. These people love Rutgers. It's not a stepping stone to a bigger program. They absolutely love Rutgers. And obviously it starts with our athletic director, right? It starts with Pat, and he's not a Rutgers guy. And he comes in and becomes one and just loves it. And then probably Coach Ciano coming back. He's always wanted to be here, and we got to follow that lead. And that's really, really important to what we're trying to do. And it's happening. It's happening all over. And it's not even a surprise anymore. You know, see the women's rank 2 in the country. Can we win a national title? That's my next question. It's great you're ranked 2. Now let's win a national title. Women's soccer, let's win the Big Ten tournament now and then go on and get back to the Final Four and try to win a championship. Because that's the expectations now. It's no longer we had a 500 record. We competed. It's no longer it's none of that anymore. And it'll never be that way in wrestling. And we need to do a better job competing in the Big Ten level. But across the board, it's not good. It's not good to win a national tournament game for Coach Peichel. It's the Elite Eight. It's the Final Four. That's the expectation now. And that's what we talk about. People think sometimes we're crazy, but that's what we talk about. And so that's kind of where it's at now. And I love going to that place every day. And I love getting to the Rockin' Center every day, walking to football every day. And, you know, I enjoy interacting with our fans, right? The fans are so, at the minute it starts going bad, they think, here we go again. No, those days are over. Those days are over, and our coaches believe that, and our student athletes believe that, and our staffs believe that. And, you know, we want to win for Rutgers. And I swear to God, I say this all the time, man, those national championships we won were so great, obviously, for me from an individual standpoint, and Donnie and Leo and the two athletes, Nick and Anthony, in our program. But, man, that was for Rutgers. That was for Rutgers, and I feel that way to this day. And I know the coaches in this department feel the same way when they're winning championships. So long-winded way of saying it's awesome to see, and I just hope our fans understand the work that's put in and that we do it for this university, and we appreciate all their support.
Yeah, that was well said. There's a lot of good energy going on here at Rutgers, and it's an exciting time to work here, to be a student athlete here, to coach here. So with that, the season opener is November 7th, 10 a.m., at Jersey Mike's Arena. We'll have NJCU, Cleveland State, and then Binghamton. So, Coach, thanks for joining me, and have a good one.
All right, Brad, you're the man. Thanks, buddy.